Good afternoon. Today is Wednesday, January the 18th, 18th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, the guy who knows everything about what's going on in the county this afternoon with roads, water, rain, snow, and who doesn't work out on Woodley Island, Tom Madsen. Hey, guy.
Good afternoon.
Yeah. Is it?
It's always a good afternoon.
Good. Okay. We'll find out what's making it so good. We'll find out also what the predictions are for the next little bit and the general state of the county at this point with the storm. Well, maybe it's the storm that was advertised rather than the storm that is. So we'll talk about that. And also, he brought in some goofy numbers, so we'll have to talk about some numbers and some other things also, I'm sure, when we come back.
I'm Jim Mongi, principal of St. Mary's Catholic School and Preschool. Our preschool program is designed to teach and model basic educational and social skills that children will need for success in kindergarten. Students learn about numbers, shapes, and colors. They begin pre-reading and writing. They develop problem-solving and sharing skills. They learn that school is fun. St. Mary's Preschool provides the foundation for a lifetime of learning. Give us a call today at 822-3877, license number 125-401-910.
Good afternoon. Today, wait a second. We already did that one, didn't we? I already introduced you, too.
Yeah.
All right. It's almost 4:16 now. We're back with Tom Madsen. Our quote this afternoon comes from Ralph Nader. I start with the premise that the function of leadership is to produce more leaders, not more followers. I suppose we could probably say that with department heads, too, huh?
You could say.
Maybe not.
You have to have a succession plan. The function of a leader is to lead.
Well, you've been here long enough. You're probably kind of starting to figure things out now, huh?
A little bit.
8, 10 years?
I've been with the county since 98, so 14.
Okay, throwing 6 for my own dementia. Okay, we're there. So that means John Murray's been antiquated for 15 years.
But he's still around.
Yeah, and still has opinion.
Yes, he does.
Tommy, as you were hearing the forecasts for this current system that's here, knowing the state of the county roads, knowing some of the challenges that normally come, you look at the culverts, some of those types of issues, how scared were you?
Not. We're set up for these kind of storms. We know we're going to get damage. A lot of the things where we've had damage in the past, you know, we've enlarged the culvert so we don't have to worry about them anymore. But we still have 1,200 miles of road to travel with very few people, and so things will get plugged up, and we know the routes, we know where the heavy rains come in, and we focus in those areas. We know where there's going to be snow. We got plows running right now. We do the best we can, and you can't be scared about it. You just got to realize that you got a job to do and go do it.
As an update right now, where's the snow sticking?
We have chains required on Titlow Hill and Bald Hills right now.
Okay, well, Bald Hills doesn't have a whole lot of action.
Not a whole lot, but it does. It is a critical road for the Yurok tribe and their community, as well as for the parks and everything else. But Titlow's where everybody's going to want to go this weekend. That one we will be working all weekend to keep it open so people can have their fun in the snow.
Are we expecting snowfall over the summits on 299 or 36?
Theoretically, there are chain requirements posted so far on the Caltrans website, but their webcam isn't showing anything on Barry as of yet. But it's supposed to drop down to about 1,500 feet, I believe, which will get some snow.
Yeah. Or at least the chance.
Yes.
Little fun stuff. How much training do you guys have to do to run a snowplow?
That is one of those that you just get on and start learning with somebody that's experienced. We put you in the vehicle with somebody for a season or two. You get to start to slowly learn. There are a lot of tricks to how you curve the blade, how high above the road it is. You don't want to be taking off all the centerline reflectors on the road.
That's right,
you
slow natives, yeah.
You don't want to be too low where you're ripping up your blade, but you got to get enough snow so that people have traction. There's a lot to it, and the blades are articulated now, so we can try to...
They're what?
They articulate in the middle. In the past, they were just rigid blades.
Oh, you mean the bend?
Right.
Oh, okay.
And so in the past, you know, we would just blade everything off, which would block everybody's driveways, and people would get rather upset, but right. That's the way snow is plowed. Now, at least when we have time, we can curve the blade and carry it past people's driveways and do things like that to help people out that live up in the snow country.
So how do you we'll have it one way in front of somebody's house and then
change it
so it throws it on the yard.
Yeah, you'll be kicking it off to the side. It'll be kicked off to the passenger side of the road.
Right.
But then that passenger side of the blade, when you get to somebody's driveway, can articulate up
into
the middle.
So you just hit a button or something?
Yeah, and then you can carry the snow past their driveway and then kick it back off the side of the road. So, but that also helps in tight areas and everything else. And then, you know, Bald Hills is one that gets deep, deep snow at times, and then we have to bring out the dozers and other things to get it open.
And the real sign of a rookie is he's got the blade backwards, so he's pushing everything into the center of the road.
If you're pushing it in the other lane, you're not going to last very long at all.
You know, I bet you that's part of the hazing process that everybody goes through. Somebody tell them the wrong thing, and then they look back and realize they have to turn around and go back and do it all over.
Yeah, the experienced people don't let people get away with that because we don't have enough people to keep up as it is, and all that does is add more work, and they get upset.
Not even for 100 yards?
Maybe for a very, very short stretch if it's only a few inches, but they're gonna learn real quick. That's not the way to do it.
Do your guys work with the Caltrans hand-in-hand, or do they talk back and forth, the communications? Because I would think if it's snowy on county property and it's 50 yards away from the highway, it's going to be snowy on the highway also. If do they work together or in tandem to kind of...
There's no official coordination, but all the road crews do work together because, you know, we run the highways to get to our roads. Sometimes they have to run our roads to get to their roads. So if the snow is falling, your blade is down no matter whose road you're on. So it just works out that way.
So kind
way.
Of a loose MOU.
Yeah. And you know, it's the Hoopa, Bridgeville area, they work really close together on the crews because everybody's shorthanded out there. So we're not going to drive down Highway 96 with our blade up if the snow needs to be plowed. It's just not going to work that way. So everybody just plows while the snow is there, no matter what road they're on.
How many snow plows are there in the county? Any idea?
We have 2 to 3 per every crew that's attached to the pickup trucks. And so that's 12 to 18 spread around the county. And then we also have blades on some of our graders, especially out in Hoopa and Garberville. And then we have heavier duty trucks that also have blades for when the situation gets worked that are multi-purpose trucks, like the 5-yarders that do pothole patching and sanding. They also have blades on them as well.
So you really almost have a fleet if you need it.
Yes.
KINS, News and Information Times, 422. We'll be back with more from Tom Adson.
Hi, this is Eric from Northwood Chevrolet Hyundai. You know, I think a lot of people forget that we have a great selection of used cars available. We might not have the inventory that some of the larger dealerships do, but I know our quality used cars stack up against anybody else's in the county. Plus the fact, if we don't have something on our lot, come on in, see us, and we can probably find it for you. We have a quality selection of some very nice used cars, what most people were looking for. But again, if we don't have it on our lot, we can probably find it for you at Northwood Chevrolet Hyundai.
Hi, my name is Mark Diaz from Northwood Hyundai, and I invite you to come down. We're open from 8:30 in the morning till 6 o'clock at night for your shopping convenience. Closed Sundays to be with family. And as my dad used to say, don't bring much money. You won't need it. That's Northwood Hyundai, 7th and D, Eureka.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Times, 4:26. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Tom Madsen. Tom, what's the biggest surprise that people would have if they knew what you knew about winter and roads in Humboldt County?
How many culverts we actually have?
Functional or plugged up at any moment?
Both.
Okay. Just the sheer number of them?
The sheer number. There are thousands of culverts in the county road system.
So during the winter, particularly a funny winter like this where we haven't had a lot, and now all of a sudden whatever's loose is going to be blowing through pretty quick. And just for giggles, you've got your 22 or 24 snowplows out there roaring around. How do you deal with plugged pipes?
Well, we have about 56 people on the ground. So probably half of those in bad snow conditions will be plowing. The rest will be running around unplugging culverts, unplugging ditches, making sure the water is flowing.
Will your folks go to the normal places that have issues, or will just drive roads and look and see?
The first thing they do is check all the normal problem areas. The ones that we haven't been able to fix, those are always first on the radar. And then, you know, there's really specific roads where we have a lot of problems with. Matoll Road, Alder Point Road, Trinidad Scenic Drive, Patrick's Point Road, you know, that...
They still passable, huh?
They're still open.
Okay.
But those roads do require a lot of effort during rainstorms because there's so many culverts and... You know, especially Matoll Alder Point, the rainfall totals out there are just huge, and you can have, you know, a million-yard slide come down and block a creek and overnight, and you have to deal with it.
I know there's EPA and CEQA and all that kind of stuff that you have to deal with, but if you get a slide blocking a creek and things are starting to back up, how dramatic and how quickly can you move to unplug the plug?
Depends how big and bad it is. If it's big enough to declare an emergency, we go at it as best we can, and we do have a whole list of best management practices we've adopted over the years to minimize our impact on the environment for what we're doing. But bottom line is, for health and safety, especially if it's a one-way in, one-way out road, if there's people stranded, the first thing we're going to do is open at least a lane of the road as quick as possible, so if there's a medical issue, people have access.
Or is that like a dynamite charge?
Usually it's more like loaders and dump trucks.
Okay. If it's that size.
Of that size, and it's stable enough to work on. You get into some situations where you've got an active slide, and you really can't do anything until it settles down.
Yeah, and you got the goop and all the moisture, and then the... Probably a little bit of the blue goo.
Yeah, exactly.
What is that anyway? Is that decomposed granite or is that something else?
I won't tell you the official word for it. it's more of a clay.
That's right. We are a public radio, aren't we?
It's a clay material. And it's really nice in the summer. It's like brick.
Yeah.
But in the winter, it just...
Goos.
Yeah.
I suppose you guys have got all those fields well mapped out,
yes.
You know which ones.
And we tend to know where most of our active slides are, and we have disposal locations nearby that we can haul the material to. That's, you know, out of, not going to get into a river or a creek. And we've got, especially in the rural areas, the landowners out there, they depend on us, so they work really, really good, and they offer the county all kinds of assistance of where to put materials, help with equipment.
They want to be your buddies because they want it taken care of.
They got to get into town too, so they help big time.
Why couldn't you put that material? I mean, this sounds really basic, I know, but why can't you put that material in a river if the river already has that material in it?
Because the law says you cannot, and it's not a good thing to do.
Oh, okay. So it's a legal issue as much as an environmental issue.
Yeah, you cannot just simply go dump dirt into any river or creek. You can't do that. It's not the legal thing to do.
So if it slides through, there will be residual, but you try to clean out as much as you can?
We won't go down into the creek. What goes down, goes down. We try to stabilize anything further from going down and move everything on the road and above to an area where it won't get into the creek or a river.
KINS News and Information Times 431.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. We think of the Coast Guard as being gallant lifesavers, and they are. However, there's another side of the Coast Guard, faceless bureaucrats far away. 3 years ago, one wrote to the Humboldt County Fair Association to say they wanted back the Mendocino Lighthouse lens that's been atop the county fair's main entrance for 63 years. The fair offered to build a new building for the lens. A citizen group, Save Our Lens, began to raise money. Then the Ferndale Museum offered to give the lens a new home. Most letters to the Coast Guard have gone unanswered. 2 weeks ago, though, in an undated letter, the Coast Guard warned Ferndale it would soon send a Lempus to begin removing the lens. They didn't say when he'd arrive or give his name, but we think it's Grinch. In Rome 2,000 years ago, the famous orator Cicero spoke of the arrogance of officialdom. If he were here today, he'd put those Coast Guard bureaucrats in that category. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the people and places that make this a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Times, 435. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Tom Matson. Tom, we've focused primarily on the wet part of this storm that was predicted to come into the neighborhood. But winds were going to be predicted to be, forecast to be a key component, whether it was a 50 miles an hour in our area, 85 at the state line, or over 100 at Cape Blanco. When wind is a factor, I would think that that introduces a whole new level of what to the equation that you've got as trying to manage this thing before it actually gets here. How complicated is wind?
Well, each of those plow trucks has a couple of chainsaws in the back. And you talked a little bit earlier about the trainee driver and the one who doesn't really learn. He runs a chainsaw for a long time. But yeah, you got to, you know, you got to hack them out as you run into them. And that can actually be one of the hazards of snow plowing, especially if it gets 2-3 feet deep and there's a tree under there and you hit it at 20 miles an hour.
What happens?
You know,
does the tree snap or does the truck stop?
Depends how big the tree is.
Well, okay.
But yeah,
for a flatlander, you caught onto that pretty quick.
Yeah. Wind storms are actually much more dangerous because of all the PG&E lines. And that makes it extremely dangerous on what they're working on out there. And so if there's anything that is touching a PG&E line, then we just shut down and we barricade the road and we have to wait for PG&E to come out and we work with them to try to prioritize where they're going to shut the lines down so the trees can be cut out of the road.
In the rural areas where there aren't street lights, so you don't have that obvious, okay, it's working or it's not working. How do you know if there is a line down or not? Do the guys just have to really pay attention as they're going?
Most of the areas, they know where all the electrical lines are. And so if they see a tree down, they'll know whether it was likely to bring an electrical line down or not. I mean, I've actually gone on site when I was in the road division and had the top of the truck slapped with a live electric line. It's a pretty scary operation.
Sobering, isn't it?
Very sobering.
Yeah. Of course, then you don't step out.
No. It's the same thing you do with a rattlesnake. Back up slowly.
Oh. I thought, draw the gun quickly.
Well, you can't shoot an electric line.
Well, I understand. Well, you said this rattlesnake thing, so I... When the road crews are out, do they often run into stranded vehicle or stranded motorists?
They do occasionally. Most of the time we'll get, you know, people a hold of a tow truck for them if they haven't already. In this day and age with, you know, all the cell phone coverage and everything else, a lot of things, you know, get taken care of by the car owner themselves. But yes, they do occasionally come upon stranded individuals that, you know, are in a bad situation and we have to help them out.
You mentioned the cell phone and the towers that are all over. Is that any of your guys' responsibility at all to ensure or to help clean up if there's an issue with those cell phone towers, if they're not functioning? Not banging the bottom of the tower to shake the snow off, but to be able to make it accessible if a tower goes out and it's part of the county's communication?
Yeah, the towers that we worry about are the main county towers that provide the roads department and the sheriff department communication. And most of those, you know, the county roads come pretty near to the top of them. And then, you know, the electric companies, power companies, radio companies, they all have little
snowcats
yeah. To get up the rest of the way if nobody else can reach up that far.
Not snowshoes.
No, snowcats.
You imagine some poor guy drawing that short straw? Okay. Here you go, bud. Strap them on your feet. See you in an hour.
Actually, it was my father-in-law's job in the Sierras. So.
Oh, gosh. That explains why you're not there.
No.
Yeah, you learned. What is your understanding now of the windstorm or the predicted windstorm? Is it going to hit Humboldt County or is it not going to be as significant an event?
Does not look to be nearly as significant as originally projected. We are looking to get some decent winds tonight and tomorrow. But when I look at a windstorm, I'm kind of thinking 40 to 50 miles an hour or more. And if we're looking at 20 to 30 miles an hour, most of those trees have already blown over.
Or deserve to be blown over.
Either way, but
yeah, the dead.
When it gets to the 40 and the 50, we start to get a lot of trees. You know, even heavy snow brings trees down without the wind. So
that's what I was going to ask. With the snow load in the hills, even at the 30 or 40, is that enough?
That'll start bringing trees down.
When you guys will see some action.
Yeah.
So maybe one more day, huh?
And, you know, one of the other things that we have is a lot of the lands are timber company lands. And so if their tree comes down across the road, they do help a lot and send their own people out to get the tree off the road and help us out. So everybody, private sector, public sector, everybody really just cooperates out in the backcountry to make things open.
Kind of the way it ought to be, huh?
It's the way it's always been with the road department.
KINS. Not to throw any accusations to any of the other county departments, but the road department always works well with the public. KINS News and Information Time is 4:41. We'll return with more from Tom Matz.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
Hi, this is Craig Brown, Dean of Students and Campus Ministry at St. Bernard's Catholic School. We're praying in these days how we can create an even more definite presence of Christ in the world around us. We pray we all have an opportunity to stop the rush of this time of year to give profound thanks for the many blessings our Lord has showered on us.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 4:44. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Tom Matson from Humboldt County Public Works. Well, at least he was when he showed up. We'll see what it says on his door when he gets back to his office. Tom, a lot of times when we talk with department heads or you've been in the past, we've talked about dollars and cents and there's not enough and there's too many roads and all that kind of stuff. Is there any recognition or any effort by a state entity, a federal entity, to say, okay, not this, yes, that, fund this, no monies for that, and to have some recognition that it just isn't working out?
Well, there is recognition that the needs system-wide for transportation in California outweigh the available resources by double over the next 10 years. We have something like $500 million in needs to have a decent system and $250 in available funds, which brings down to the point of, well, how do you solve that problem? And that gets into the prioritization of where you spend your money, which projects get funded.
But you've been doing that all along, haven't you?
Yeah, and rural counties have it a lot harder than the urban counties, simply because the gas tax formulation and the way they give the money out, the baseline maintenance money, is weighted on registered vehicles with a very small component on lane miles. So just for an example, Humboldt County has 1,205 miles of road, and we have 143,000 registered vehicles. So I'll get about $6 million this upcoming year in the gas tax allocation, which, you know, comes out to be, you know, a little over $5,000, $5,200 per mile of road. LA County has 3,200 miles of road, but they have 7 million plus registered vehicles. They will get $56,289 per mile of road to maintain their roads in the upcoming year.
And that's just the county roads.
That's just the county roads. And if you look at it scientifically, you really need about $60,000 a mile to maintain your roads system-wide in a decent shape. You know, conversely, Orange County has got 2.5 million registered vehicles, but they only have 300 and so miles of road, so they're getting $187,000 per mile of road. So Humboldt County gets 5,000 miles per road. Orange County gets $187,000 per mile of road. So
you know what that tells me?
They have very nice roads in Orange County.
No, you need to make a friend in Orange County.
So that's one of the things rural counties are looking at, and it's a hard battle because we're simply clearly outvoted.
And it is a case of the rurals against the urbans.
It's a case of, do we effectively maintain the entire system in the state of California, or do we have very good areas and very poor roads in other areas? It's a hard balance there. But in my opinion, rural counties should be getting at least a little bit more, at least a baseline amount per mile, so that, you know, we can more effectively try to maintain our road systems within the funding that's already out there.
Let's talk bullet train, shall we? Did you ever think that that thing was going to come to fruition?
I don't know. I know that very unlikely Humboldt County will ever see a bullet train.
Way to go way out on that one. But, yeah, the project chair and the assistant both resigned in the last couple of months, saying that just there's no way this thing can ever be feasible?
There's people who really believe it work. There's people who don't. When you look at the capacity needs of what we're going to need to move our population, especially with the growth in population, I know our growth has slowed a bit, but we're still, you know, looking 20, 30 years out, we're going to be at 50 million people. We're not going to be able to expand SFO, LAX, our major airport carriers. Our roads are tough to expand.
What about Arcata? You brought up the airport, man.
Arcata is a very nice airport. In fact, now we've expanded the runways. We have an extremely nice safety area. We have an extremely nice terminal. And we're doing everything we can to try to bring new service in. But that really, system-wide, what needs to look at is the major hubs. And that's LAX.
They're landlocked pretty much, aren't they?
They are very, very landlocked. You're not going to expand LAX. You're not going to expand SFO out into the bay under the current issues.
Can Sacramento expand?
Sacramento has, they have capacity to add more flights, but not to the tune of the demand that's going to be put on the state to move people in the future. So it may seem outlandish, but we need to look at different ways of moving people around the state.
Not a highway system. Something more dense than that?
In the urban core areas, I would be thinking something much more dense, because if you look at the highway system in the urban areas, you can't build it big enough. You simply cannot build it big enough.
Thanks for coming by.
Thank you.
We've been talking shop with Tom Atson. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.